The Great Lakes region is a critical wetlands habitat for birds. The National Audubon Society has an ambitious conservation plan that's out, and we're learning what it entails on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But this is the last day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. I'm here with Rob Barrett. Hi, Rob.
Morning, Kate. Longtime listener, first-time caller. Glad to be here.
I love it. Your support is so important. It powers the programs that keep you in the know and entertained.
That really is how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. You've been meaning to give, so do it now on this, the last day of the spring drive at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
See, it must be the last day because they bring out the big shots, right?
Yeah, you. And then some, you know, some B-team folks like me. I'm with you.
Thank you so much to everyone who gave last hour. This hour, we have a goal of 25 gifts.
And these hourly goals are a big deal. They help us stay on track financially so we can keep the discussions going strong here on the Ideas Network. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And, you know, a large slice of funding for WPR programs, and it's the biggest slice, is listener support. So while all of our funding sources, state, federal sources, are important, of course, it's your contribution that makes a huge difference. WPR is the amazing and varied service that it is thanks to your support. So keep independent, high-quality programs on the air when you give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You might think that you don't have to support WPR because somebody else is. Well, Wisconsin Public Radio has been around for years because thousands of people have made that decision to support something that's important to them.
And now it's time for you to make that decision. Many first-time donors give $10 or $20 a month. You choose what works for you on this final day of our membership drive. Give now. It's time. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Today, donate any amount and you could win a $1,000 gift card to Wheel and Sprocket. Buy a new bike, add a trailer for your kids or cargo, or get your hands on some of the latest cycling gear. Sustainers, you're automatically entered. No contribution is necessary. Find all the details at WPR.org/drawing. You can't win if you don't enter, so make your gift of any amount right now. Here's how.
Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm here with Rob Barrett. It's listener support that's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support on this final day of the Spring Member Drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
And I know you might be thinking, Rob, Kate, I'd love to do this, but I'm busy. It's the morning. I got a lot going on here. Well, that's the great thing. We know you are busy. So we've really streamlined this. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio takes just a few minutes. Tell us your name, your contact info, how much you want to give, and then how you'd like to pay.
Super quick, super easy to do your gift right now. It really helps on a Monday. Take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We had a great hour last hour looking for 25 gifts in this. This is the last hour of the morning show during this spring drive. I'd love to go way over 25. Honestly, everybody's been waiting for the last minute. Everybody wants to be a part of the big finish. This is it. This is the last hour of the morning show in this whole drive. Give now because WPR is listener supported. So your gift is super important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how about this as an added bonus for supporting programs you love? You could win $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And sustainers making ongoing monthly gifts, you're automatically entered. If you're not a sustainer yet, sign up now. Super easy to do. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you are, in fact, already a sustainer making those ongoing monthly gifts, thank you, and make today the day you increase your support by $5 or $10 a month, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sherry and Marshall says, you've inspired me to raise my monthly donation. Sherry, thank you so much. Your gift is powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org, and thanks. Now let's take a moment to appreciate the trill of a marsh wren. Ah, thanks to the Cornell Lab of Ornithology, the loss of wetlands in our state over time has likely resulted in the decline of the marsh wren in Wisconsin. And that's from the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. The National Audubon Society, it has a new plan to restore and protect nearly 300,000 acres of coastal wetlands in the Great Lakes region to help the marsh wren and other birds thrive. Do you support bird conservation where you are? What are you doing? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Nat Miller is Director of Conservation for the National Audubon Society's Great Lakes Program. Nat, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
Well, good morning. Before we dive into the report, let's touch on spring migration, because the Great Lakes region are like this superhighway for migration flyways. What do you expect this season to look like?
Yeah, we're already kicking off in the midst of spring migration as hundreds of species and tens of thousands of individual birds are heading north. This is a great time of year in early May to see warblers and small songbirds, forest birds that are migrating from sometimes very long distances in South America and Central America and the Caribbean, heading up through the Midwest and through Wisconsin. Some of them are stopping here to set up their breeding territory and build nests and hopefully reproduce, and others are just stopping temporarily and heading even further north to the boreal forest where they'll nest in the far northern reaches, some even up to the tundra.
Well, I have a special place in my heart for orioles. I just love it when they arrive. I'm always on the lookout for them this time of year. Any sightings of orioles?
Orioles are definitely around right now. I'm in Ohio, and they've come through here in the last couple of weeks, and I've seen sightings reported in Wisconsin and Chicago. And
okay.
This is a great time of year to get beautiful big songbirds as well, like orioles or indigo buntings or rose-breasted grosbeaks. Those are definitely here now.
Well, let's look at this report a little bit more closely. First of all, set the stage for us. What is the ecological significance of the Great Lakes for birds?
I mean, the Great Lakes is really probably the most critical freshwater ecosystem on the planet. It's not just for birds, but providing water for 40 million people, drinking water. And the surrounding coastal wetlands and the surrounding coastal areas are really a massive coastal system that are so important for birds and other wildlife. These are unique systems, right? And that it's a large coast, but it's not salt water. It's,
mm-hmm.
And we're dealing with lake level change, but not sea level rise, and actually more rapid fluctuations of lake levels in this coastal system. And while we have laws that protect wetlands since the 1970s and the Clean Water Act, what we've seen the last few decades is really a degradation, a deterioration of those wetlands because of invasive species, pollution, climate change, and still urban fragmentation of those wetlands. So those wetlands are no longer the healthy, rich system that provides habitat for birds. They look more like open water ponds, and they're more sediment, more mud in them, so less plant production, less insects, and less birds. So it's really a system that's under threat and that needs some attention.
You mentioned lake levels there and climate change. How are birds affected by climate change?
Yeah, directly they see impacts just like people do in terms of longer periods of drought and bigger storms, flooding of areas, more wildfires out west. And then more indirectly, they're seeing the shift in their habitats. And if we're looking at birds' ranges, and they're shifting to the north, and that's with a climatic shift. So whether those birds will have the right food to eat and trees and shrubs to nest in is a question for them. So, and then, you know, for birds, most birds are migratory, traveling long distances twice a year. So they really depend on that evolutionary system that's evolved with them. So having the right berries being produced just at the right moment in fall while they can stop there and eat those berries, or the right insects emerging in the spring. So birds are really being impacted dramatically by climate change now.
You've mentioned also that the habitats that we make for birds in our yards haven't helped them thrive as much, that we could do better on that. Is that true?
Absolutely. Native plants is one of the best things people can do to support birds in their own backyard or in their city park. If you look at exotic trees like Bradford pears, they on average have about 2 insects that can feed off of those trees, whereas an oak would have over 100 insects, species of insect on the tree. So getting native shrubs and native trees back in our yards and our small city parks can actually make a huge difference for birds.
We're talking about conservation and restoration efforts in the Great Lakes region. Nat Miller is a conservation leader with the National Audubon Society. Do you live along a shoreline, near wetlands, or on the Great Lakes? How are birds doing? What do you notice? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead with Nat Miller here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're exploring a new report from the National Audubon Society. It's called Restoring the Great Lakes for Birds and People. Now let's take stock of our final day of the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. I'm here with Rob Ferret. Your gift of any amount makes a huge difference.
Listener support is the largest source of funding for all WPR programs, and that means that your support funds the morning show as well as all those other WPR shows you count on. So give now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
So here's where we stand, Rob. 40 minutes or so left of this hour. We're looking for 17 more people to join in, and thank you so much if you've already given.
If you haven't give now on this last day of the drive, your last chance to give during the morning show at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And then when the drive is over, you'll know, hey, I gave, I'm supporting, I'm part of what I'm hearing every day on the Ideas Network.
And on the morning show and all day long on the Ideas Network, you hear multiple sides of an issue so you can make up your own mind. And together, we keep up with the issues of the day. We have some fun. We follow our curiosity and we learn.
And as with this conversation we're hearing right now, we don't just find out about what's going on in the world. We find out how it's relevant to us. So with this conversation about birds, we're learning a little bit about what we could do in our own yard to help those birds out. There's really nothing else like this on the radio. It's something special, and your support is a vital part of what makes it possible. The biggest piece of our funding is your support. Give now during this spring member drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the radio programs that you count on.
And make your donation even easier when you become a sustainer. Choose an amount that's right for you, say $10 or $20 a month, and have it charged right from your bank account or credit card.
When you're a sustainer, your monthly gift will continue year after year, so your support is always current. Start your ongoing monthly gifts right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's a really powerful way to support all the Ideas Network programs that you love.
This member drive, stay hydrated with a pair of WPR pint cups. whether it's iced coffee or just some ice water. These steel, clean canteen cups are the perfect way to enjoy your favorite beverage and show off your WPR pride. What's your favorite drink?
A nice, ice-cold bourbon barrel stout.
A deep, rich red wine.
Okay, the good answer is pink lemonade, but my guilty favorite, cherry Pepsi. Don't tell anyone.
Ask for your pair of WPR Pine Cups today with your gift of $20 a month or more. Here's how.
Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. It's your support during this spring member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Maybe you gave a few years ago and you feel like you've done your part. Well, it's your continued support that really keeps WPR going.
That is right. If it's been a while since you donated, this is the perfect time to renew on this final day at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and we will be glad to have you back.
Just over a half hour left in this hour, this last hour of the morning show during our spring drive. Looking for another 17 gifts by the end of this hour to hit our goal. You make WPR possible when you give. Right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And how about support Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for your pair of WPR Pine Cups with an eye-catching geometric design. Your love for WPR will be on full display with every single sip. Ask for yours with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You count on us for great conversations. We count on you to help pay for it. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thanks.
Now, the Great Lakes region is experiencing troubling declines in native bird populations. The National Audubon Society has a plan to help 14 marsh bird species by restoring wetland nesting habitats. One of these species in need is the black tern. And that is courtesy of the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Are you worried about the loss of habitat, of climate change, of disturbance from human activity? How are birds doing where you are? Conversation is right here, 800-642-1234. Nat Miller is a conservation director for the National Audubon Society, and he's our guide. So, Nat, looking specifically at Green Bay, the Bay of Green Bay, and what issues do you see facing this region, and how does the National Audubon Society say we should tackle it?
Green Bay is so important. It's home to more than half of the coastal wetlands in all of Lake Michigan, so the greater Green Bay area spreading north into the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. This region historically has been incredibly important for biodiversity because of the massive coastal wetland system. And like many of our coastal areas in the Great Lakes, it's a place where people settled and where we developed and where we had a lot of industry. And my grandfather was actually part of the paper industry in Appleton, Wisconsin. And we've left a legacy of contamination in many of these places across the Great Lakes. So there's great cleanup efforts happening, and there's a lot more still to do. I think one of the things to be mindful of, and Green Bay is a great example of this, is while we have seen rapid declines in population of birds, we have seen positive results from restoration efforts. So the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, which is the big federal program that is investing in restoring these Great Lakes areas, has invested in places like Green Bay, where some of the Fox River and Duck Creek and the Cat Islands, the chain of islands, have been restored. And there's a great bird story there. In 2016, we got the endangered piping plover to nest back on those islands for the first time in 75 years. Hmm. That's a species that was historically in the Great Lakes in big numbers, about 800 pairs. 1986, it was down to 17 pairs of birds total in the world, And now it's back to up to like 75 or 80 pairs, we're hoping, this year, that they're just starting to nest. So investments in places like Green Bay that historically we know are really important is critical to reverse this decline of population loss.
Let's bring in Cindy now in Appleton. Hi, Cindy. What would you like to add?
Well, I would just like to say that it's not only about habitat, but we have got to stop spraying all these poisons. All these pesticides that people put out are killing the bugs, which is the food for the birds. And, I mean, the insect population is also in huge decline, which is affecting the bird population. So, you know, this has to be a hand-in-hand situation. It can't just be about habitat.
Yeah, Cindy, thank you. You know, Nat, our legacy pollutions, you mentioned pulp and paper. You know, are these pollutions like PCBs still building up in Great Lakes birds?
Yes, absolutely. And Cindy's point is a great one. We're seeing big losses in what we call aerial insectivores, so birds that eat bugs out of the air. And most likely those losses are associated with a decline in insect populations. We know insects in mass are the greatest amount of wildlife biomass we have on the planet, and with those losses, we're disrupting the food chain. And yeah, you know, chemicals that we see in our system often are uptake in birds as well. We see a lot of water birds that have forever chemicals like PFAS also in their bloodstream. So, you know, birds are a great indicator of what's in our environment. And the metaphor canary in the coal mine is there for a reason. When we see bird populations healthy, and that's a good sign that our water and our air are healthy as well.
You know, are birds the harbinger of what can happen to us? If birds are becoming extinct or their ecosystem is in havoc, what does that mean for our fate?
It's not a great sign, right? It's where we have a saying at Audubon, where birds thrive, people prosper. And that can be related to direct chemicals in our environment, but it can also be a social and cultural and mental state of mind. We know that people that are outdoors and active and enjoying birding or hunting are healthy folks. And I think where there's a direct link to having a healthy natural environment around you and living a fulfilling life.
Nat Miller is Director of Conservation at the National Audubon Society. What restoration efforts would you like to see to help birds in Wisconsin? Where do you think habitat restoration is thriving? Where is it lacking? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll continue this conversation ahead. News update is next on the Ideas Network. The National Audubon Society has a plan to restore hundreds of thousands of acres of wetlands in the Great Lakes region to help bird populations in climate change. We're discussing the report this hour of the morning show. I'm Kedar Cherkent. Now let's check in on the final day of our spring member drive. I'm here with Rob Ferret, and it's listener support that is the largest source of funding for the programs you love. And that's why your gift now on this last day is so important at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Here's the deal. We got off to a really good start this hour, but the clock is ticking. We're in the home stretch. Your last chance to give this drive during the morning show. Say thank you to Kate and the great team that puts this show together each and every morning. Need 14 more gifts by the end of this hour. We can do it with your help. Your gift right now really is a big deal, because when you give, you support the programs like the morning show that you rely on every day.
And thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And this current conversation, just one of many examples of why you give. Birds are on our minds this spring, and this new report tells us, you know, some of the big issues facing birds here in Wisconsin and around the region, how you can make a difference in helping them. And you get to join in on the conversation, too, with your calls. This is what you get each and every day on the Ideas Network and here on the morning show.
WPR is listener supported, and that means that get your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the many topics, birds and otherwise, that you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
Think about the things you spend money on most days, maybe every day. The coffee, maybe some takeout dinner, a delicious cookie or donut or crawler. Oh, I may be revealing more about myself here. You think about what you spend money on. That's okay. It does add up day to day, and it's easy to spend money on things like that that are part of your daily routine.
Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine as well. It's your news source. It's your conversation starter. It's your place to learn. So spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sheree from Waupun.
I felt so guilty. I felt like a freeloader for years. I have to say, I just became a member in this past year, and it was a sustaining member, and I want to make sure it fell on a time where I knew I was going to always have it, and I plan on putting you in my will. Even if it's only like a $500 gift, I plan on leaving my mark here. I want to make sure that this continues. I do. This is very important to me.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer Kent. I'm here with Rob Ferret. It is your support today, now, of Wisconsin Public Radio that keeps all the great programs you enjoy going strong. And whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe waking up with the morning show and Kate each and every morning. Now, make a new habit, a habit of donating. It's a great habit, one you could be proud of. Get it started right now. Help out with your donation of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Okay, here's where we stand. We have about 20 minutes left this hour. We are looking for 9 more people to join in. So you and some friends and family, you make WPR possible with your gift on this final day of the membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Extra thing here, added bonus, you could win $1,000 to spend on bikes and cycling gear at Wheel and Sprocket. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Sustainers, you're already entered automatically.
All right. Ann in Madison says, I listen literally every morning and every late afternoon throughout the week. Thank you for all you do. No, Ann, thank you for your gift. It's powerful. It makes a difference at WPR.org. And thanks. Right now, the National Audubon Society points to studies in recent years that document a staggering loss of birds. Scientists say over the last half century, North America has lost more than a quarter of its entire bird population. Great Lakes Audubon has identified a dozen regions of coastal wetlands to protect and restore in a new plan to help 14 marsh birds, including the sedge wren. And that is the Cornell Lab of Ornithology there. How do you see climate change affecting birds where you are? What questions do you have about improving bird habitats? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Nat Miller is Conservation Director with the National Audubon Society, focused on the Great Lakes Initiative. He stays with us. Nat, let's move to the St. Louis Estuary. It is listed as your number one priority region for restoration efforts, and this is one of the largest systems that drains into Lake Superior, wedged between Duluth and Superior. What are the conditions of marshes and bird habitats in this area?
Yeah, another tremendous area in Wisconsin and in Minnesota as well, of course, on the border. It's an area that's similar to Green Bay and that heavily industrialized and a lot of impacts on the river and surrounding kind of riverine wetlands. The current conditions are very deep water. As we know, Lake Superior and all the lakes are pretty high right now, and that's created a loss of of pretty significant what we call emergent wetland habitat. And those are plants that emerge out of the water, and that's really, really important vegetation for birds. There's a lot of great restoration happening. Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, along with the state of Minnesota, groups like Minnesota Land Trust, are restoring wetlands, and we're seeing an immediate response. It's one of the great things with those marsh birds that you described, our 14 focal species. Almost all of them are what we call, if you build it, they will come. They respond very quickly to restored habitat, and that's a sign that, that habitat is the pinch point, the bottleneck in their population. So a lot of great work happening in the St. Louis River Estuary, and we're excited to lead some more to bring back birds like the black tern that has not been there for 20 years or so in terms of breeding. We'd like to see it come back.
And so when you're mapping areas within this estuary, what are you doing exactly to change the habitat for these birds and make a noticeable difference?
Yeah, so there's the kind of the basics of it are to really look at the hydrology, especially to ensure that we have a natural ebb and flow is critical to the dynamic nature of a wetland, so that when waters are low, that the mud can be exposed to the sun and seeds germinate and plants grow. And then when water goes up, that creates emergent vegetation that a lot of wildlife use, fish and mammals and insects and birds. So really looking at hydrology first is important, especially where we've altered that hydrology, of course. And then addressing invasive species and removing them or controlling them in a way that they don't completely dominate the habitat, and getting native plants back out there. And that's another thing people can do is get native plants in the ground, right? And then really thinking about climate resiliency and knowing that we're going to have rapid fluctuations of lake levels means that we have to do things like soften our shorelines. Building seawalls is not a great idea when we don't really know what our fluctuations of lake levels will be. But if we have a shallow gradient, a shallow slope, then that creates adaptation. That creates flexibility that our wetlands can adjust no matter what the lake levels are.
So when you say soften shorelines, that would probably mean don't develop right there on the shoreline. Don't build that house. Don't build that business development.
Yeah, or doing it in a sustainable way. And, you know, if you're going to build a boardwalk, maybe consider a floating boardwalk that can move up and down with the water. But, yeah, concrete and buildings immediately in the vicinity of the shoreline is not a very good investment.
When you look at the birds that aren't even endangered yet, but they depend on conservation efforts to thrive, is that an issue that you see? Is that, you know, even birds that are doing okay now may not be doing okay 5-10 years down the line?
Absolutely. One of the results from the recent Cornell study that you cited that was shocking to us was a rapid decline in common birds and birds like red-winged blackbirds that folks may hear a lot right now as they're setting up their nesting territories. But it's a wise investment to keep birds off of the Endangered Species Act, because at that point it takes a lot of investment to get them back. But if we can keep common birds common, then that's going to be a benefit for everybody.
We're talking with Nat Miller, who's a conservation director with the National Audubon Society, focused on its Great Lakes Initiative. We're learning about their report that is focused on improving the habitat, the ecosystem for birds and people in the Great Lakes region. You can join in with your questions about the report, about building habitat, about what you see birds are doing in your region, 800-642-1234. So, Nat, the Audubon Society has said it's using a science-based management techniques to improve wetland health. What does a science-based approach take into account, and what does that involve?
Yeah, so our 12-party regions are based on spatial models. So we looked at a set of data from the Coastal Wetland Monitoring Program that's a 10-year data set that shows us really the most important areas for these birds currently. And then also looking at some historical data to inform where we could get these birds back. We looked at that as well as where we could improve coastal wetland health for the benefit of water quality. So where can we get that win-win? By creating a wetland, we're going to get that optimal bird habitat in the right place, but also perhaps soak up nutrients and sediment and pollutants from places like the Fox River. So it's really an approach that looks at the best places on the ground and then monitors progress. So one of the great things about Audubon and birds in general is so many people love to watch them, right? So just in Wisconsin, we have 32,000 members of National Audubon Society. Second most per capita in the country is the state of Wisconsin, only behind Vermont. And those people love to participate in what we call community science. So it's a great program to go out and monitor these marshes this time of year to see how birds are doing and respond scientifically. If populations are not doing well, that means we're probably not doing something right. So it's really taking a look at data to ensure that we're doing the right things for these species.
Yeah, how does citizen science inform what you do at the National Audubon Society in terms of putting together proposals and plans for preservation?
It's critical. You know, the Christmas bird count is over 100 years old. It's really the first example in the United States, at least, of community science where folks at Christmas time were out counting birds. And now we've turned that into a national program. It's the longest data set that we have. So it can really tell us so much in population shifts and let us know when there's a problem so that we can address it. And then there's a lot of other programs. We have a new one called Climate Watch, where we're looking specifically at a set of species, bluebirds and nuthatches, to see how their ranges are shifting and the timing of their migration. And that program's been going on for a few years and already really critical to understanding how climate change is impacting birds.
Another impact is policy, the policy agenda. Your organization has worked to advance policies at the state's level, you know, to put forth conservation initiatives. What are you currently seeing there? What is moving forward?
I'm so happy you asked that, because it's a really critical time for Wisconsin right now with the potential reauthorization of the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program, which has already protected 370,000 acres in important bird areas or near important bird areas across the state, including Goose Pond Sanctuary, which folks may know is just north of Madison Audubon Society. Our chapter has worked there for a long time to bring bird populations back. And that program is really critical to the state of Wisconsin and maintaining our wildlife populations and really our culture of connectivity to wildlife. And right now, we're very supportive of the governor's proposal to reauthorize that program for a 10-year period at $70 million per year. So I'd urge your listeners and bird lovers across the state to be in contact with their state assembly or state senators to support that program.
So you can see direct results from the Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. What about this initiative specifically is making a difference?
It's really focused on habitat, right,
okay.
And protecting habitat. So protecting and restoring habitat and addressing climate change are really the most critical things we can do for birds now.
What do you think community members who live near marshes, who live near wetlands, what can they do to help these bird populations?
They should. I love this request because it's an easy one. They should go out and enjoy their parks and protected areas in the first place. I think that's really important, and develop a sense of stewardship over these places. That's in the name of the program, Knowles-Nelson Stewardship Program. We're protecting these areas for birds, but really for people too. And knowing and supporting your local natural areas is the most critical thing you can do. And then there's many ways to get more deeply involved. Many of these areas in Audubon chapters across the country, and especially in Wisconsin, are looking for people to participate in community science or become advocates for us in contacting their decision makers and elected officials. So there's so many ways to get involved, and I think the most critical is starting to understand the natural habitats that we have and how you can join in to save them.
Very quickly, Nat, what is the next step? You have this plan, it's published. Where does it go from here?
We'd love you to keep paying attention. You can follow us on our website at gl.audubon.org. We're working with partners across the Great Lakes region, and really this plan is Audubon's plan, but it depends on a plethora of organizations and agencies to move it forward. So we're digging in deep to those 12 regions with our members and also our partners to improve the habitat.
Nat, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nat Miller is Director of Conservation for the National Audubon Society's Great Lakes Program. We have a link to the Society's report. It's called Restoring the Great Lakes for Birds and People. It's at WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the final day of our spring membership campaign here at Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. I'm with Rob Ferret. It's your contribution that keeps The Morning Show and WPR going strong. So $10 a month, $100 a month, every gift in any amount on this final day, it makes a big difference because the largest share of the funding for WPR programs, it comes from people like you. So donate now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are so close to our goal this hour, looking for 8 more gifts, but the clock is ticking on this last hour of The Morning Show during the spring drive. Let's end on a really high note. Make your gift to support the programs you enjoy and count on each and every day.
WPR programs, they are listener powered. It means that your donation right now, it makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We just had a great conversation about birds and their well-being here in Wisconsin and around the Midwest. I know, Kate, you and I both like spotting birds. We get to watch hawks fighting crows from our office later in the summer. I saw a few sandhill cranes out for a hike yesterday.
Nice.
I know you love the Orioles. Have you had any good bird sightings of your own lately?
Well, you know, I walk around Owen Conservancy and I always trying to find them because I love them for some reason. I haven't seen them yet, though, but, you know, you just keep checking.
And that's the great thing about this job. Kate and I are learning along with you. We love the stuff we talk about. We're really interested in it, and we know you are too. And here's the deal. WPR is listener supported. That means that your donation makes these great conversations possible. When you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So get your pair of WPR pint cups. How about these stackable steel clean canteen cups? They're perfect for everyday use or your next outdoor adventure. Support the programs you value and show off your love for WPR. It starts with your gift of $20 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Christine from Mount Horeb.
And I'm Naya from Mount Horeb.
I've been listening to Wisconsin Public Radio since I started college here at the UW, and that was about 25 years ago.
I started listening to it pretty much at birth. It was on all the time at my house, and it's become a really integral part of my day.
WPR is such an important part of my life, and I realized I should become a member and donate just to make sure that WPR stays vibrant and has secure funding to continue on for myself and for my children as well.
Generations have grown up with us, and with your help now, many more can too. Go to WPR.org and click Donate.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Rob Ferret. Listener support, it's the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support on this final day of the spring member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
We keep inching closer to our goal. I see another one just came in, maybe a couple more on the line. If you give now, you might be the one who puts us over the top for our goal in this last hour of The Morning Show during the spring drive. Make your donation now. Help us hit that last goal at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thank you for being a WPR listener. And thank you to everyone who's already a member. It's listener support, your support that makes WPR are an unparalleled resource in Wisconsin and beyond.
Five more gifts now will put us over the top because WPR is your radio home. Support it now. Make all the great news and conversations possible with your maybe first ever gift of 10 or 20 bucks a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mary in Chippewa Falls says, I listen to WPR every day. The stories on the Ideas Network, the news, the classical music. Mary is all in and says, thank you for the service. Bethany in Mondovi says, I listen to WPR so often that my kids don't think there are other radio stations in my vehicle. I can identify with that. Rob, take it away.
Give now a $1,000 bike stuff drawing. You can get on when you give now. The important thing is you're supporting great conversations when you make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much.